This is On Target with Penny Wolfgang, a program that takes an inside look at what is happening in Western New York with news, features, and special guests. Now, here's your host, Penny Wolfgang.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to On Target. I'm your host, Penny Wolfgang, and it's our mission every week to talk to you about subjects we think are important and educational and topical for all of us and current for all of us who live here in the Western New York community. And I didn't say educational by accident. I emphasized educational because, as I was just telling our wonderful producer, Kevin Carr, we seem to be on a roll for some reason of concentrating on groups and subjects and areas that will improve our educational system here in Western New York. And I think that's because when we talk about all of the reasons that people live here or work here or what affects the quality of life in Western New York, education is probably the problems with it, the lack of it, the good of it, the bad of it, are probably number one on everyone's list. And sometimes when you see lists or stories about why do people move to Western New York, very often they'll say because they have a good educational system, or they'll describe a certain area that they move to because we like the schools, for example, that kind of thing. So we really are concentrating on that because we care about Western New York here on Target, and that is one of the subjects that we feel like community service would be important for people to know and think about and find out what's going on to, as I said, with our educational system. Well, not too long ago, it was brought to my attention again about this wonderful group that for 25 years has worked towards changing lives of our children here in Western New York, giving parents a choice, giving children a chance. And it is known as the Bison Children's Scholarship Fund. I'm sure that Bison's going to have some explanation to do with our Bisons, but I don't think it's named after our team, but everything around here seems to have to do with Bisons, I guess. But in the studio with us is Amy Papadick, and Amy is the executive director of the Bison Fund, and actually has been since all the way back in 2013, and pointed out to me that she might have been a guest on Target before, but she also had the fun of being on a TV program when I was doing a WBBC talk show not too long ago. So she's kind of familiar with helping people here in Western New York and explaining the Bison's Children's Scholarship Fund. So welcome, Amy.
Thank you for having me.
It was fun when we were doing the talk show, too.
Yes.
But this is fun, too. And it's more fun because we don't have to care how we look.
Agreed. It's a lot less pressure.
I don't know about you, but it's definitely less pressure. Because Kevin knows I could come here in my like PJs or something. No makeup, you know, dingy old jeans, and nobody will know the difference,
right? No one
knows. So, Amy, I wanted to begin by, in case our listeners are not familiar with it, could you just explain what we mean when we say Bison's Fund, and also that it is not a Sabres team, it is not a hockey team, it is not a baseball team, but it's more important in many ways. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Yes, absolutely.
You agree, right?
Agreed.
Yes.
So first of all, again, thank you for having
You're
me.
Welcome.
The Bison Fund was founded 25 years ago. And basically what we do is we provide tuition assistance for economically eligible children to attend private school of choice. We believe that a family should be able to choose whatever school best fits their child's needs, regardless of income or zip code. So we want nothing more than public and charter schools to be successful. But if a family wants an alternative, we want to help make it happen.
Okay. That seems pretty simple, but of course it's a lot more complicated than that. Whose idea was it? How did it begin?
Absolutely. So 26 years ago, Senator Chris Jacobs, Paul Bauer, and Tom Beecher were doing similar things individually in the city of Buffalo, but wondered if they could combine their efforts to make even more of an impact. So they decided to do that. They pooled enough resources together for 200 scholarships that first year, 25 years ago, for only City of Buffalo families. Over 500 families applied. So they knew they had something. They just wanted, again, to support families who wanted an alternative but couldn't afford it. Fast forward 25 years later, and we're serving over 1,900 kids in grades K through 12 throughout the 8 counties of Western New York.
Right. So there's two parts to what you said. That's interesting. You did start with the city schools or city children, right?
Correct.
And then as you expanded, you were able to raise enough funds to expand? Is that how it happened?
Yeah.
Or you just saw the need?
Well, we saw the need, both. Yeah. So we saw the need, first ring suburbs and even further out into rural areas. And also we had some great partnerships that allowed us to expand. Our first expansion was first ring suburbs. And then about 8 years ago, we expanded into all 8 counties.
Okay. Now, this is kindergarten to 8th grade, right?
Yeah, that is how it started. That will always be what is most important to us. Last year, we did expand into high school. So this is our second year expanding into high school, so we're really proud of that. It's fantastic.
Well, let's go back to the very basics of it. How do you determine who is eligible for a grant?
Right. So like I said, this year for 2019-20, we're serving 1,900 kids. At any given time, we have 1,000 kids on the wait list. We strictly only look at economic eligibility, income levels. We don't look at GPAs. We don't look at other things because oftentimes we're getting these kids in kindergarten, first grade, second grade. Research shows that third grade is too late for some of these low-income children. So really, as long as they're economically eligible, we trust them as long as they meet certain academic criteria and things like that. We offer them scholarships, and they're able to choose the private school of choice.
What's the, like you said, what criteria could there be besides economic for, as you said, a first grader or kindergarten?
Yeah. You know,
because they haven't had any, they don't have GPA.
Well, that's exactly it. So we want to get them in young. And we have
nothing. Yeah.
We don't interview. We are a staff of 2.5. So we can't interview these families. But one thing, Penny, that makes our families successful is, or a program successful, is that our families need to pay a portion of this private school tuition. So they're low income, defined as national poverty level, and they're gutting it up to make it work for their children. So education is automatically a higher priority in the home. So based on that alone, families are willing to sacrifice whatever they need to give their children a brighter future than they've had.
You were talking about something I think is important to explain, that by the third grade, it sounds kind of ridiculous to say it, but by the third grade, it might be too late if a child hasn't had either preschool, kindergarten, or those lower levels of education. They're going to be behind the curveball, so to speak, already by third grade, which is probably how old?
Nine.
But yeah, it's pretty young.
Yeah.
Pretty
young. Research, national research shows that these, our low-income children get further and further behind their more middle or higher-income peers by third grade. Just that gap just widens. So we try to get them in early to keep them on pace and to become lifelong learners.
Hmm. Now, what schools are involved? What are some of the schools that participate in this, in the Bison's Fund?
So the way we work, like I mentioned, is we hold a lottery system. All you have to do is be economically eligible. And we hold a lottery system because, unfortunately, again, at any given time, we have 1,000 kids on the wait list. So the way we work is, if you're selected in the lottery, we say, congratulations, Wolfgang family, you've been selected. Now you go choose the school that best fits your child's needs, whether that's Christian, Lutheran, Catholic, Jewish, non-denominational. It's really any private school in Western New York. So oftentimes, this is the first time parents are empowered to shop for a school for their child.
Now tell me some of the opposition that you faced originally and maybe still from people from the public school system, for example.
To be totally honest, we don't face opposition. We do our work. The more money we raise, the more scholarships we can give away. And we want, like I said, we want nothing more than charter and public school to be successful. And originally, our founder said our main goal is to go out of business because we wouldn't be needed. Well, demand is higher than ever. But until there are alternatives that families want, we just want to be able to provide a private school alternative should a family want that for their child.
And let's talk about why they would want that. I mean, you know, what would be some of the reasons?
Absolutely. So we did a study a couple years ago, and the number one reason was safety. The second reason was academics. The third was values. So that is very eye-opening into why our families applied for a Bison scholarship. But smaller class sizes. We hear from kids who say, this is a second family. They demand better of me. I like coming here. They hold me accountable. So it's reasons like that that families and students feel so privileged and grateful to be at their private school, whichever school that might be.
How does the charter school system fit into this scenario?
The charter school system does not fit in because they're basically a privately run public school. So really we partner with 85 private schools across Western New York. We don't work with charter or public.
Now, as far as you know, a child like determining where they, or a parent determining where they would want to go, do you help them, work with them? What are some of the considerations?
So I'm nodding because parents can often get overwhelmed. Okay, I've received a scholarship. Oh boy, now what? But we have great ambassadors with our schools. So if a family visits an open house and likes it, we put the school in touch with the family. The school does a great job marketing Bison for us. But when families do call and have questions, we obviously look at where they're located and private schools around their area. But we do try to help as much as we can. But oftentimes it's our parents doing the work in going to open houses or touring and things like that.
Mm. Now, you mentioned that this would help disadvantaged children, and particularly the younger they start, the better. But we ought to look at the home, and I'm sure you do, that many reasons why children fail or don't do as well is because they don't have the support at home that they need to succeed in school. And I'm sure that's something that's been considered.
Absolutely. And again, our parents are poverty level, but are paying on average anywhere from $1,500 to $2,000 a year for their child to stay in this private school with the help of a Bison scholarship. We always say we're successful because we provide a hand up, not a hand out. And even talking to some of our schools, sometimes it's amazing. Parents coming in to do extra work or work study type jobs to help decrease their portion of the tuition. But all of these schools say it adds to the school community, and they are hard workers, and a lot of our parents do some of that type of work in order to make tuition more accessible to them. So we have invested parents.
And that makes, I'm sure, makes a big difference.
Makes a huge difference.
Which would be the same in any school, actually.
Yes, I mean,
but
absolutely.
Particularly here where there's an economic investment as well.
Absolutely.
We are, in case you just tuned in, we are talking about the Bison Children's Scholarship Fund, which has been in existence for 25 years, we just found out, and the executive director with us, Amy Popadick, and she's discussing what they do and how they do it and how successful they've been and what their goals are for the future, I guess. Well, one of the goals part must be, you already mentioned, which is exciting, wanting to expand past the lower grades, right?
Absolutely. That was a huge accomplishment for Bison. We really wanted something at the high school level because individual high schools give scholarships and aid, but there's nothing on a mass scale that gives scholarships. And our families have made the sacrifice for 7, 8, 9 years. So we wanted to offer them the opportunity to continue in a private school. And so this is their second year in high school, and we're thrilled about it. If I had another aspiration, it would be to alleviate our wait list. That would allow us to, in essence, double our program. But unfortunately, at this point, we just don't have the funding to do it.
I wanted to talk about some of the impact in this brochure. It's fascinating. I want to see if we can share it with our listeners. First of all, you've got a family spotlight on some of the families and students that this has made a difference for. And I think it's exciting just to individualize, to talk about whether they have their names, so they must be proud of the fact. Well, here's, for example, a family who went to Narden Academy Elementary School. And you could tell us a little about that.
They're fantastic. So they're the Christian family, and they have three children, Colton, Camden, and Cadence. And Colton is now a sophomore at Nichols. Camden is in eighth grade, and Cadence is in fifth grade. And they were at their local public school, and they just weren't happy. And so they found the Bison Fund, and they were awarded, and they chose Narden. And they couldn't be happier. And not only with academics, but with the opportunities that a private school awarded them, whether it was something like ski club or a service trip, kind of those intangibles outside of the classroom that you don't always hear about. They are such a wonderful family. We had the opportunity to interview them over the summer, and they just couldn't be more grateful. And the kids are grateful, the parents are grateful, and what resonates with me is how much the entire family, parents and kids, talk about one day giving back to Bison and being in a position to give back and to give other families the opportunity that they've had, because they just feel indebted to the Bison Fund.
And of course, this is so rewarding for contributors to learn and hear about these kind of stories, I'm sure.
Exactly.
And then you've got a couple of students, like mm-hmm. all the way from the third grade, the fifth grade. Well, maybe they're really young, but still you've got something to talk about.
And we have a freshman in there and then an alum.
Yes, but I wanted to get to that because we were talking about higher education. So here's a freshman at Buff SEM. That would be interesting to talk about.
Yeah, Ava. So Ava's super interesting. She's one of 10. And
wait, in her family?
Yes, stop. One of 10. And she's the oldest. And she is one of our high school. She received the Bison Fund through grammar school, but she was awarded a high school scholarship. And she chose Buff SEM. She's a freshman this year. And she absolutely loves it. And she feels so blessed to be at Buff SEM. She loved her time at St. Mark's. Her little brothers are still there. And then she has little ones who aren't even in school yet. But it's just a credible family willing to sacrifice to give their children the best education possible.
Which probably you can say about most of the families you deal with.
Absolutely.
Because they wouldn't be applying if they didn't care a lot about education.
Right.
And then I'm sort of interested, because we've talked about this a few times, about the fact that there's somebody who is actually all the way up to university level and Cornell University, which is certainly one of the finest universities around.
Absolutely. So that's Samari. So we try we track our eighth graders through high school and college enrollment. And we have been in touch with Samari. She went to St. Joe's University in University Heights area, and then she continued on to Sacred Heart. And now she is at Cornell, and she wants to be an OBGYN. And she is incredible. She's being raised by her grandmother, and she is just the most lovely young woman. I had the opportunity to meet her too recently, and it was amazing. Amazing to see the resilience, too, and the determination in these young adults.
Because you're talking about a lot of people, a lot of the students have had to overcome, like, perhaps language difficulties besides poverty, coming from another country, even.
Exactly. And unfortunately, you know, society and research shows that sometimes they start at a different disadvantage. So again, if we can just level the playing field, that's all we want to do. And that's what we are doing, is leveling the playing field for individuals who want something different but just can't afford it.
Oh, I'm sure you want to talk a little bit about the donors. I mean, individually, and who they are and how people can help.
Absolutely. So our budget is this year is $3.1 million. $2.8 million of that is going back into our area schools. So we have a very lean staff. We have extremely loyal donors, including the Children's Scholarship Fund. They're a national foundation based out of New York City, K through 8, and they match whatever we raise. So donations made to the Bison Fund can be matched by them. They have given, our partnership started way back in 1999. And they've given $6.7 million of national money into the Western New York community. So that's really powerful and something we're really proud of when going out and talking to donors, how your donation will be leveraged. Also, John R. O'Shea Foundation has been incredibly supportive. But we raise it all and we give it all away. So every year is a clean slate that we need to raise enough money. And we don't necessarily have an endowment. We're working on that and exploring that. But it really is money in, money out. And the more money we raise, the more scholarships we can give.
Are the people who are interested in helping with the scholarships and raising money, do they, for you, have a particular interest, like in education, or have they, many of them had people that went through and got successful, or... You know, any of those kind of stories?
Yeah, well, I think at the end of the day, they just understand what a quality education can do. And no one can take that away from a young person. You know, Buffalo is moving and grooving and doing great things, but our childhood poverty rate is still one of the worst in the country. So if we can educate one child at a time, that's our future community leaders and business leaders. And we hold an annual luncheon. And last week, and we had two alumni speak and a mother. The mother was extremely powerful. But the two alums that spoke, one is now employed at M&T working, and one just got back from a 2-year stint with the Peace Corps and wants to work in public policy and go abroad. I mean, these just are incredible stories you would not hear otherwise. And they are the first to tell you, my life would have been very different. Very different.
And also, it's, I think, rewarding for your donors, whether it be foundations or families, to hear these success stories and what it's meant to the individual people in their lives.
It's incredibly powerful. It's incredibly powerful.
And I also noticed that not only organizations and foundations have supported you, but big companies like Walmart or KeyBank, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, we have incredible corporate support. Year after year, they really step up and continue to step up and continue to increase their levels. They know we work.
Okay. So... as far as our listeners go, we want to help them out by telling them from both sides, if they want to be a donor, and also if they feel that they or somebody they know might be eligible or interested in applying for a scholarship, that would be really important.
Absolutely. So both donors and potential families can visit www.bisonfund.com and get more information on making a gift, getting involved, whether that's volunteering or sponsoring an event or applying for a scholarship.
What could volunteering mean?
Yeah, volunteering could mean helping with committees we have, maybe sponsoring an event like a day at a museum or a day at a ballpark. We definitely accommodate someone if they have a specific idea or interest. We try to make it work. If they want to fund families to do something unique that they might not have the opportunity to do. We recently had someone gift us 100 tickets to Touch a Truck over the summer. So, and they went and...
I got a good one for you, the Bisons.
Absolutely.
I'm sure I'm not the first one to think of that.
No, exactly. Okay. A baseball
game.
Right.
A baseball game.
Yeah. So, but there are a number of ways to get involved, and all of that information, whether donating or getting involved or applying for a scholarship, are available on our website.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Amy, it was a pleasure talking to you from the Bison Fund. And thanks for listening, everybody. We hope that we've given you something to think about and also told you a little bit more about our education system here in Western New York and the importance of both private and public schools. Please join us again next week for On Target. Same time, same place. Thank you for listening, and goodbye, everybody.
You've been listening to On Target with Penny Wolfgang, a program that takes an inside look at Western New York and our community. If you have any comments or suggestions, please write to Penny Wolfgang at 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Amherst, New York, 14226.